Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache. It's good to have everybody here. Do you hear my voice? Okay, stranger things have happened. I had a little something in December. Anyway, my voice was totally fine. I did this workshop last Saturday. Amazing, amazing workshop. Oh, my God. I still have chills on it. We've been doing a lot with working with brain chemistry, resonance and coherence, and changing, you know, pathways. And I was driving home from it, and then my voice just disappeared. So it's coming back, though. It's coming back. Anyway, welcome everyone to Awakenings. I love seeing everybody here. Everybody getting in the chat. Welcome, guests. Hi, Tamara. Let me know how the sound is. Those of you that have been here before know how important the chat room is. It's not just a chat. Sacred Space of Empowerment room. You can get lots of great insights and information in the chat room as well. We have a lot of empowered, awake, aware listeners. And so feel free to ask questions of them in the chat, and you can also ask me questions in the chat as well, if you'd like to. Welcome everyone listening later via archives on iTunes, BTR, TuneIn Radio, and Player FM, and all the other. I just found out with high numbers in Belgium. So welcome our Belgium listeners. Lots of love and light to you as well. And if I missed anybody, I'm saying hi to you. And if I didn't say exactly by your locale, and feel free to always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and let us know where you listen from. Let us know what you like about the show. What would you change? What would you add? We're always open to guest suggestions as well and topic suggestions. And this is really, it's a radio show, it's a podcast, but more than that, it's a community, and it's really a forum, place to connect and share, inspire. We debunk stuff as well. I mean, it's really, I look at it really as like a community of sharing and coming together in a very open, empowered way. I mean, just be who you are when you come here, you know. If you're in a bad mood, that's okay. Just don't be trolly. How's that? Don't be trolly. Don't play small. So anyway, if you want to email me at all with the topic suggestions, guest suggestions, or questions perhaps you want answered on air, that email is awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com. Either one of those will get you to it, and the producer will forward it to me. And Denise, welcome, and Liz in the chat as well. So normally we do readings for about 45 minutes, almost an hour. And if you do have a question you want answered, you want a reading, please press 1 on your keypad. That lets me know that you want to chat, you want to be heard. You know what? It's so good to be heard, actually. People don't realize how... What are we doing here? You know, our soul expression is to be really listened to, heard, acknowledged, and understood, and not just verbally, but by what we do, you know, by putting our little shingle out there, living to our fullest. And I saw something earlier today. Sometimes I get up really early and I watch. Oh, my God, I'm all over the place. I love my little suspense things. I love my little trashy reality shows. I love my little Nat Geo. I love my British telly, European telly, but I'm all over the place in news, whatever, just whatever. And it was on the show, they were saying how many more hours this person had to live. And it was in the thousands. I think they were in their 40s. And I got to thinking, yeah, we live a long time here to some degree. Some people say we don't. It's short. But it got me thinking, and I brought it into my meditation, the whole idea of time and what are we doing with our time. And I put this out to all of you to kind of contemplate. I don't think it's about rushing around to do things, you know, to always make things happen. But I think, you know, for myself, I look at, am I happy where I am in my life? Now, I truly am. I love what I do. Even if sometimes it's challenging. Let's be honest. Sometimes working with people is challenging, especially when they're triggered. I mean, as a therapist, I've had people do and say really kind of really hurtful things because they freak out. But then I've always had them come back and end up working with me. I'm so sorry, this and that. I'm like, you know what? I kind of knew you were triggered and it's okay. And I think we all need those kind of soft spots in our life where it can be okay to be triggered, be hurt, be, you know, need to be nurtured a little bit, you know, not just getting sick to be nurtured, but taking that time to nurture yourself first and foremost. Like if you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it for somebody else. You know, if you don't really love yourself and love how you're living, sorry, you can't really be there for someone else. It's just, you know, it's with the back of your head, you know, you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm not happy with my life. Yeah, we go through patches of that, and that's fine. But in my meditation, I got the idea of time and not looking at maybe as hours or days, but as quality. What are you filling your days up with, and are you doing the same old, same old, same old? Are you growing? There's such fear around growth, and except for children. It's so interesting. Before they get socialized, most kids, I mean, yeah, every kid is different. I mean, some kids are embrace change, you know, more or explore more. You know, and other kids are a little more inward, and maybe their exploration is more inward, or they're creating, they're drawing or painting the tree while one is climbing the tree. And both are valid. And one of the things that I see on the path that I think people need to really kind of connect more with is with your days, with your nights, with your time, how much of it are you actually getting to know you and going within with you, spending quality time with you? You know, I posted on my Facebook and Instagram, and I think I put it on my Twitter feed as well, which, by the way, if you want to follow me, it's my name, Michelle Mache, with one L. Two L's will get you to my Facebook page on Facebook. One L will get you to the Awakenings page. But it's the same in my Twitter feed as well as Instagram. And this whole idea of FOMO, you guys know this, fear of missing out. I don't know what it is. I guess because I've always been psychic, a little bit odd, a little weird, odd duck. I don't really respond well to peer pressure. I never did, even as a kid. And definitely don't respond well to it in shopping. Like when I go shopping and people say, everybody's wearing it, or this is the latest, I go, oh, can you show me something else? I don't want to do what everybody's doing, including my friends. And that's why I like to surround myself with people that are doing different things than me so I can learn. So this whole fear of missing out, right? And I heard about this, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And I was dating someone, and he was debating whether to go to this thing or not. And he goes, like, oh, I really have FOMO. I have a bad case of FOMO. So I'm like, FOMO? Fear of missing out. I was like, oh, my God, I never had it. Thank God. And I'm like, well, you got to do what's right for you. What fits in for you? What fits in for you in your path? You know, and he was just, oh, but all my friends are there. Everybody's going. Everybody goes. And I thought that, which is what I put on my Instagram post, I thought back in the days, and those of you that know me, some of my cohorts are modeling days, and I did have a great time, jet setting, modeling, I had a very successful career. But I will never forget, you know, in between calls, auditions, and working and do my commercials and my acting, my modeling, and I get to the, you know, I take the subway. But I was in New York and I did work in Europe and Chicago, London, anyway, in the big city, right? And I hit every health food store. God, I get all my stuff, and then I'd go to the metaphysical bookstore and plop down and get, you know, read and da da da, and get my, you know, all my little, my book, oh, this astrology book, you know, that astrology book, and then I'd get home, you know, and then okay, then we'd go meet my friends at the cafe, we'd hang out, we'd have dinner, and then we, you know, time to go out Thursday, Friday, whatever. There was always something to do. And I love dancing. I love staying out late. I love hanging out and joy of partying. Hey, everybody. But all I could think about was those books sitting by my nightstand, getting home, lighting my incense, and having my tea and reading. And I will never forget this time. We got in big groups. And there was about 10 of us. And my one friend, Moji, and we were talking because, you know, we had our little spiritual path part of it, you know, makeup artists, photographers, whatever, that were also, you know, on the path. And I'd be like, oh, shoot. And they're going, we're going here now. Oh, what's the best? Oh, we're on the guest list. We're always on the guest list, so who cares? Free drinks are flowing, free bottles of champagne, whatever you wanted, food, whatever. And I'd be saying, oh, I got this book. And we'd be talking. And I will never forget this one time. In the middle of the street, we're all getting in cabs, different cabs, and we're going to meet up. And I said, oh, I'm done. I'm going home. And my friend goes, well, what are you going to do? And I go, I'm going to read. I go, I got this book. I go, I can't wait to dive into it. And she said, you're going to read. And one of the guys with us heard her say, read. Thinking he's going to shame me in front of the whole group, he says, Michelle's going home to read. Oh, Michelle always has to go home to read. Oh, Miss Spiritual. Totally trying to FOMO me, shame me, whatever. And I was like, that's right, everybody. See you next time. And I was out. I didn't care. I didn't give two, you know what, two toots. But that's what I was known for. Here's Michelle, the spiritual one. When I used to do, you know, commercials and some films, I'd be sitting there. People thought I was sleeping a lot. And I was meditating. But you know what? I don't care. I like it, and I surrounded myself, and I drew in people that you know, accepted me and, you know how I am. Well, there goes Michelle. She's cocooning. She's doing a retreat at her house. She's, you know, on the down low, whatever. She's going within. Michelle's channeling, working on a lot of stuff for her in her workshop. So my whole thing right now, no FOMO. Stop with the FOMO. Tamara's putting in the chat, I wonder if FOMO is also about fear of making an incorrect choice. Well, it's fear of missing out. Tamara says, Michelle, you have a lot of self-confidence and trust in your ability to choose for yourself. Some of us are not always so great with that. Like, moi, aha, Tamara. But that's why I do the show. That's why I got into the work that I do. That's why I love working with people. Because you really do know. You really, and most of the time that I talk to people when they are on the fence about what to do, because you know, you're not, the FOMO is the peer pressure of middle school, junior high, whatever, high school. It's the pressure of the advertisers and marketers that are bombarding us that, you know, you have to have the new this and that. By the way, I could say I had FOMO for technology because I always had to have the latest. I was the early adapter to things because I'm a bit of a techie. But what I did is I pulled myself out of that and I said, who am I giving my power to? Why do I have to have everything right away? Number one, usually the bugs aren't until the second or third generation of something. So Crystal Bowles did that and saying, yeah, she is helping us with that. Yeah, and I don't. It's not, you know, I like going to the latest and greatest as well, you know, the whole buzz and excitement, all that. All I'm saying is have a bit of a balance. If you find yourself really wanting to do something, stay at home, you know, read, watch TV, watch a movie, just hang with a friend, cuddle with your cat, cuddle with your dog, lay by the fire, or you have a different choice. And inside, that's what's getting you, but you don't want to be the one when everybody else is talking about it. Oh, you missed this and you missed that. FOMO is a fear of not belonging, that you're not going to be the cool cat. But the problem is there's no cool. I remember back in the day, and believe me, you guys, I don't have to say my age, but you kind of know my age. Friends of my age, sometimes I hear them say, we can't get to the club until 12 at night because no one's there. I don't care. I'll get there at 10 when the DJ's there because all I'm going to is the dance. You see, why do we feel we have to be seen? I'll tell you why. Because when you have that no FOMO, you have FOMO, you're not doing enough in your life. You're not impassioned enough. You don't have enough joy in your life. Otherwise, you don't care. You know, I remember back in the day, we used to get a few friends and I, because we got to the clubs early enough because we were dancers. I used to be a professional dancer as well. But we liked to dance. And we actually got free drinks and food. One club wanted to pay us, but I didn't want to be there on a regular basis, to get the crowd going. Just by being us, our silly selves, we got there early because he's like, oh, it's so dead. Nobody will dance until somebody else dances. So kind of all I'm suggesting, I'm not shaming, throwing shade, no blame here. I'm just saying this year, you know, Robert's going to be coming on talking about the insights for 2016. This year is a year for a lot of, you know, breakthroughs and breaking with the norm. You know, there's a new normal that's being created because we are in the energy of the new paradigm. You see it politically. You see it all across the strands of life, all arenas. I'm just kind of suggesting to everybody a little nudge here because I still have to do this to myself as well. Where are you holding yourself back and staying in the pack and listening to the crowd instead of your own inner voice and your path? I hear people doing things that are directly not where they want to go. They want to study something. They don't study. They don't take the class. They don't take the course. They want to move ahead. They stay with the people that are keeping them down. They keep doing the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old all the time. What's that saying? Doing the same thing and expecting different results is insanity. So I'm just saying right now, there is such support in the universe to try new things and to break out of constructs, to break out what is limiting you. And it first starts in your mind. So if you can't kind of stand up for yourself, how do you expect someone else to do that? Hi, Crystal Bowles, Gretna's putting no FOMO. Let's see, fear of missing out. For me, that's that I take on too much, overcommit, and then have to clean up. Yeah, okay. Dana Liz, I'm smiling and nodding my head in agreement. I can definitely agree. Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm just suggesting, because part of being empowered, and in that empowerment to be able to lead yourself, which is the first follow, you know, our lead of our higher self is to listen to what you really want to do. I mean, for me, I don't know why. I have a lot of trickster energy, so I like going against people, probably too much. I have to learn to go against people less. I can be a little stickler in groups, especially if I feel they're a little bit culty. I like to take the opposite side. I don't, you know, I do that because I like balance. You know, that's the, you know, Libra part of my chart. But so, you know, I could learn from that a bit. But at the same time saying that, I see a lot of people that need to learn to trust their own inner knowing, you know, and to go think big picture, everybody. What do you really want to do? Are the people you're hanging out with, are the activities that you're doing furthering your soul growth, more soul expression, more love, more fulfillment, more growth? Are they leading you to where you see yourself going, or are you playing it safe by surrounding yourself with people or activities that might be cozy? You can still have cozy, but, you know, a blanket wrapped too tight, you know, like swaddling an infant, if it's too tight, it's you know, it's not only going to be detrimental, you're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to move around. So I would just say right now, kind of look in your life and see where are you kind of doing, you know, where are you kind of, you know, we're friends, where are you hiding from your own self, the part of you that wants to grow and expand and live bigger, whatever that means to you. Well, I say more soul expression. Now, for some people, that's, you know, more money, more income, more friends, more opportunities. Some people, that's more peace and calm. Some people, you know, Angie's putting, learning that now by getting back into gym routine. My depression has almost completely disappeared. Yeah, you got to move the body. You know, if you got, if you're sitting on the sofa, you know, overly snacking or doing whatever, start a walking program and or join a group that gets you out there. So when we interrupt patterns that we have, limiting patterns in our routine, like Angie's talking about in the chat, it starts to positively affect our mindset. You guys have all heard me say this, and I still do it. I always say when I'm going through challenging times, Yoshi gets, you know, extra walks, sometimes 3 and 4 a day. You know, she loves it. But I have to keep, I have to be, you know, moving, you know, or I'll work out more, or I'll do, you know, more yoga asanas. That movement for me helps me. You know, when I used to have a pool, I'd go swimming, you know, lap back and forth, back and forth. I don't have one right now. But find what works for you to help you, you know, in your movement. Moving the body helps to move the mind, you know, and moving the mind, which is letting new ideas come in. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, when you let new ideas come in, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to totally agree with what somebody is, you know, telling you or sharing with you. But just the idea that you're taking the time to listen, to really listen, hear, acknowledge, and understand another person's point of view. What does that do? It's a form of movement. And again, it doesn't mean that you don't, you know, you don't have to. Some people say, well, I know I don't want to do that. But sometimes just listening, how, you know, I do that quite a bit. I'll listen sometimes. And I think that's why I love storytelling and I love, you know, I love media so much. I will listen and I'll be, I wouldn't do that. But then I can see how somebody else would do that. And sometimes I'll even find, I'll even end up incorporating something that I've learned, even if I kind of resisted and thought, well, I'd never do that. But just the listening helped me make that shift. Okay, callers, if you want to chat, you want to say hi, you want a reading, a question, a comment, that number is 347-539-5122, and please press 1 on the keypad. We have Robert coming on in just a bit. And if you have any questions in the chat, just type it so I can see. Okay, so I'm going to answer two email questions that came in. One for full from our own James calling in. He listens in the archives. And he's saying, I won't deny it, but I wonder where to find the time or opportunity to express my own unique version of creativity in my life. Start with 5 or 10 minutes a day. Start when you're in the loo. I don't know, but it can be done. Anyway, he's asking, he had a dream vision where he shot up a carload of, including my brother. In fact, I saw his stomach wound and continued attacking him. I failed to see the hidden meaning in the skinny cross. I love it. Okay, well, a lot of times, shooting can have to do with a lot of aggression, releasing anger or aggression, or maybe, and you just said, you wonder where to find the opportunity to express my own unique version of creativity. Sometimes creativity isn't always painting or drawing or making something. Sometimes it's just being yourself or being with yourself. So being in the garden, being in the yard, walking along the lake. It's your own time to let things kind of ruminate, percolate from within and bubble out. You see, you're not going to get your big picture. You're not going to get your ahas when we're rushing around. We're just not. We're not going to get it. If you're packed, this is why I like space in my day. People say, God, Michelle, you know, I do play around. I am a little, you know, I have a procrastinating side and a couch potato side. Make no mistake of it, you know, and I could take, and I had it one period of time because I had the financial wherewithal where I took a lot of time off and did a lot of nothing. But from that nothing, a lot came, you know, a lot of business ideas. I had a company, you know, that I later moved on from, and, you know, my books, you know, CDs, a lot of creativity comes to a lot of ahas. And for me, workshops, that's a form for me, my creativity, the soul entrepreneurship, the groups, the workshops, the soul path, teleworkshop, which are coming, yeah, by the way, the daily own course, which, you know, the first book took me about a year to write. Took me 6 months to do the revision, the edit. The Daily Own course took me about a year or 9 months. Okay. So you've got to fill back up. So you've got to have spaces. If you're afraid of space in your life, ask yourself why. If you're constantly go, 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 doing, 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 you're running away from yourself. You got to be your own best friend, and you got to let that divine insight, that the higher self, come in. So to me, that's part of creativity, just the seeing where the day goes, just having that space. So I feel like there's a lot of anger. And so we always look at our, you know, a person in the dream that you know, you look at it as that person. So I would say, is there any anger, or what does that person represent to you? But it also, a person that you know, friend, family member, foe, whatever, also represents an aspect of yourself. So, and a load of friends, a carload, so you're all traveling the same way, the same direction. You're in the same car. So there's something about, there's a revolt happening inside, James, with how you're going through your life, how you're traveling in your life. You know, are these people, you know, more mainstream? And do you need to free up a little bit from that? Again, you guys, you all, you know me. I'm not, throw everything out. It's about balance. It's, you know, be bohemian, but get your stuff done. Be practical, you know. I'm a practical mystic, a modern mystic. You know, I like the practicality. Yes, I like the ancientness. Yes, you know, I talk about having, you know, my interdimensional experiences or being a starseed, you know, extraterrestrial experiences. On, I could go on and on. But, hey, we're in the earth plane. Where's the practicality? On the material plane, so it's a balance, and that happens to be my path, so that's what I share. So I would say, James, you're feeling a bit jammed up, and the stomach is the wounding. It's the inner child area. It's also the Hara center, the sense of empowerment. It's the that whole stomach abdomen area, that whole third chakra has to do with our identity, who we are and how we're expressing on the earth plane. It's where the umbilical cord goes to the mother, and then there's a etheric umbilical cord into the mother earth, to the earth plane. So when the third chakra is taken care of, when we take care of enough of the wounding there, where we think, hey, I kind of like who I am and how I'm expressing, I like my identity, you know, I like, I'm the all that is, or God expressing as Michelle. That's I'm the little slice of God as Michelle, and I, you know, that's okay. You know, I kind of like how I am. Then you get into higher expressions, you know, more expanded expressions, and continue to attack him. So somehow, he's representing something you're uncomfortable with, and look to see what is represented, you know, in yourself. How are you similar to him? Okay, I hope that helps. And we had Barb, she said, I just realized the other day I've been listening to your podcast for 4 years, and I still love it and look forward each week. Thank you for sharing always. Barb, thanks. Thanks for being part of the community. And she's saying, over the past year, I've been noticing palindrome numbers constantly, some repeat at times. But the format is always the same. For example, 515-404-1221-888, etc. I've looked at the energy of the numbers, but I'm wondering if there's a separate meaning to the mirroring of the digits. We even moved in the summer to a house with the number 383. Is it maybe about cause and effect, or as above is so below? It's always as above is so below, but I'm seeing with those eights, you know, that has a lot to do with work. It's interesting, the material plane, the earth plane, it corresponds to the strength card in one's, you know, in the tarot and in one's life, being, you know, focusing on your strength, integrating your strength. Let's see, you've got 4 times 8, 8, 4, 8, 12, 3, and then you've got those threes. I would say for you, what maybe writing, starting from journaling to get into some self-expression, to see what wants to come through you. That's the best thing. I mean, the house number 383, 6 and 8, 14, 5, has to do with, you know, new pathways, change, allowing new influences in your life. And those threes have a lot to do with communication, creativity. But the 8, again, has a lot to do with emotional clearing, deeper changes in one's life, and also, like I said, the earth plane or material plane has to do with consistent effort, putting effort in one's life. By the way, this is such a synchronicity because we're pitching one of the TV shows has to do with numerology, and I might ask a question about the numerology. I like that synchronicity. Barb, I hope that helped you. Now, we're waiting for Robert to get on air. Let's see. Should be here in a minute. And so I'll answer a question on air. And then if I don't get your question, call back next week. I have a lot of email questions to get to. I'm going to devote more time to that. So we'll do that next week. When Robert gets on, he always has so much information, great insights. But if you do have a question for him within the realm of what he's talking about, you can call in at 347-539-5122, pressing 1 on the keypad. Hi, 661-332, you're on Awakening. Welcome.
I'm just calling for a reading. I'm trying to figure out how I could put myself in the balance or what would be the next step to kind of unlock myself, basically.
Okay, give me your first name.
Charles.
Hey, Charles. Welcome. What's the first step to howdy? And what do you mean unblocking yourself?
I don't know. It's always like something's missing. And it's like,
I love the something's missing question. Charles, I'm going to give it to you straight. Marinade. You're like right now. You have the wonderful stew, the veggie stew on the stove, and you've got, you know, you've tasted the ingredients, but you're not sure. Should I add a little more pepper? Should I add some spice?
Yeah, exactly.
Let it stew. You know, you're like the meat that's going on the grill. You got to let it marinate. Yeah, and this is for everyone, wherever you are. When you've done it all and things are going on a good clip, which I feel they are for you, Charles, you're in a good flow. I don't know. What do you like to do? You know, I go to the cafe. I hang out with people. I do stuff in my yard. I write. I meet with friends. I go walk on the beach. You need to do some other stuff to create the void, the space for the new stuff to be drawn in. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you called in because I don't know. Western, we fear space. You know, I have friends around me too. They want to keep busy. I want to do 5 things in a day, 4 things. Look at everything. Space.
Yeah.
Space. Give the space. It's coming through. What's missing is you. And I had to learn this, and I still have to remind myself. When I think something's missing in my life, and especially, and I can say, you know, I had a life at one point that was so filled, jet-setting around the world. I mean, anything you could imagine, you know, I was doing. I think why I didn't get caught up in created the space to connect with me. So when we feel something's missing in our life, it's our connection to ourselves. So, and sometimes things are happening right deep inside, they haven't come through yet. Because there's always going to be something missing, especially when you're ready to go to your next level. You're going to feel something's missing. I want more. Where is it? I can't touch it. You know, moving us to the left, it's moving to the right. So I feel for you, things marinate more. Mm-hmm.
I guess what it is that I feel like I make so many mistakes with things, and I feel like there could be something that can help. Like, I don't know.
Yes, you do know. We always know. There's something that can help what? Something
that can
help what?
It kind of balanced me out, I guess. I feel like certain things should have happened a long time ago, and they didn't. Even a psychic told me that, and it kind of bothered me because I always felt like that. And
here's the thing I'm going to tell you, but predictions are dependent on your own emotional growth. If you stop yourself, we can see destiny. We can see what's coming.
Yeah, I know it's in the moment, right? It's in the present.
That's not what I'm saying. Okay. I've seen tons of people that I have worked with, and I've seen it in other people's, lives and readings. We delay ourselves. We had a caller, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I love her dearly, and she called in, and she said, oh, you keep seeing the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, because you're not getting out of the house. She works from home, and she's not getting out of the house. So this, years ago I had a girl, she wanted to meet somebody so desperately and get married. Oh, did you go to this? No, I don't want to go. Finally, because I told her, the guy is not going to ring on your door. Finally, she went to some church event, and some guy asked her out. And you know what she told me? She said, he's a painter. She goes, well, I didn't want to go out with him. I said, oh, okay. Here's the thing. We hold ourselves back out of fear. We want something, but you have to look. This is why I do the repatterning work. I know,
also,
Charles, but you're bringing up a good thing.
Like
I know, but
certain things I could be doing, like playing more shows, and it makes no sense that, I understand that I'm probably put
that's
in a situation to make
saying,
even
Charles,
more music.
I see our guest on the air. I want to get to him.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to say to him. Wait, hold on, because you bring up such a good point, and I really want to drive this home to everybody, because I've been there myself, and I have it on my own level. We hold ourselves back. Not everybody is going to live out their destiny. I can tell you for sure, because people make, just like you can be on the right path, you could be on the wrong path. Just like you can make life-enhancing choices, you can make non-life-enhancing choices. So the thing is, if you want to, if somebody's 500 pounds and they want to lose weight, but they're eating, brownies every day, it ain't going to happen. So it's up to us. That's why you work with a coach, you work with a therapist, you work with a mentor. That's why I do it all the time. I work with somebody now. I 3 years ago, I said, I'm going to new arenas in my life, and I feel I'm holding myself back. Even though I do a lot, people are like, oh, you, Michelle, you do so much. But I have my own levels that I get scared. The difference is I get people to help me not BS myself and get me forward. These are for Charles, you, other people. You have limiting beliefs about money, or some people have limiting beliefs about the world, or if you have limiting beliefs about, girls or guys are this way, I'm going to be left. That's going to manifest in your career and in your life. You got to work to get rid of those beliefs. So if this is for everybody that's listening, if you're seeing yourself not progressing the way you would like to, wisdom says either it's divine right timing, the timing is off, something else is coming through, you need to work deeper, or things are being worked out, or if you see it as a pattern, then you need to reach out and get support. You need to get help.
Yeah, I did. I tried to get support from people, and,
But not – no, I'm going to call you on. I can feel it. You need to work one-on-one with somebody.
I literally tried to do that with two people, and then they didn't do anything. And I gave somebody so much money, and I was kind of –
How long did you work with them?
Well, it was like it was for months, and then they left. I told them to keep in touch, and they completely left. And then I tried to get help somebody else, and it's almost like they're doing the same thing.
Keep trying, Charles.
So I was like, should I help myself? Like, what do I do?
I'm telling you can't do it by yourself. We have blind spots that we can't see.
But when I ask people to keep in touch, they just the times I've done
it's not
like,
keep
they
in touch.
Don't
you
do
need
it.
To work with you. You mean, okay, but this is something that somebody told me a long time ago, one of my mentors and teachers, Dr. Hahn. He said we attract in our life where we're at. Because I would ask him, how come, because I'd work with clients and then I'd find out they were working with a psychiatrist or psychologist, and no change. And then they look at me and all these change happen. And he said people seek where they're at. So if you really want change, you really want to get ahead in your life, you will choose somebody that will do that, that will do that for you. And
yeah, I don't know why, I don't understand why I would pick people to do that because I don't want that. And then
because subconsciously you do. I'm giving you the answer
I look inward when about these things. Like I don't always assume, it's everybody else's fault. I really do try to look. Trying to figure out why would that happen if I'm not. You know, it's like I'm really trying to get help, and I try to
Email me, set up an appointment. Email me info@selfandlight.com. Email me, info me. Okay, I have plenty of affordable, people can't work with me personally. I do workshops. I do teleworkshops. I've been doing the soul entrepreneurship. The people that work with me get results, make the changes. That's why people come back and work with me, or they work with me so long. I don't BS. I don't let people stay stuck. So choose the right person, whether it's a trainer, a personal coach, a doctor.
Called you.
But you've been calling in a long time. But see, people get afraid to work with me. I've even had people say, I'm afraid to work with you because I know I'm going to make changes. So if you're stuck in your life, it's not everybody else's fault.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, things are getting better. I know that there's a way to make it better than what it is.
You need to work with somebody, whether it's me or someone else. You need to work with somebody. You need to work with somebody because the same stuff is coming up. So I love you dearly, but I'm keeping it real. You've got to work with somebody if you want to get to that next level that you want.
What happened
all right?
with the last?
All right, I gotta go.
Okay.
Call next week. All right. Keep listening because we have Robert Wilkinson on.
Okay.
I hope. Okay. Cool. And maybe he'll address this too. Okay. All right, everybody. Angie put, I make excuses too because I'm afraid of change. I know. And Angie's saying, if it's not the right fit, keep moving. There's always going to be resistance on the path. That's why you have to work with somebody that's been there, done it, and isn't afraid of your resistance and won't let you stay stuck. Lovingly and sometimes kicking in the arse if you don't listen. All right. We have Robert Wilkinson on, author, astrologer, spiritualist, and metaphysician. And he is the creator, writer, and developer of AquariusPapers.com. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michelle. And hello, everybody around the world that's listening, mainly between Hawaii and, we'll say, the Middle East, because everybody else is asleep. But very interesting that I always tune in, you know, to find out what's going on. And what I've heard, especially the guy that you were just talking with, this is a classic Jupiter square Saturn atmosphere. Classic.
Okay.
It's where, because Jupiter's how we expand, and Saturn are all of our rules and fears and limitations. And right now, Saturn's in Sagittarius, so we're all restructuring our way of moving into the future and our way of moving into a greater truth and a greater sense of something. However, the square has now, from Jupiter, has put the expansive principle at odds with the fear and the restriction principle. And the thing is that this square is going to stay strong through June. So if anybody feels that some effort is not worth the price, it's an opportunity not to fall into discouragement or set one's sights too low, or allow unnecessary rules and limitations to put us off our goals. That every single time anyone feels like it's just not worth the trouble, or I just can't seem to get any movement, or I can't seem to grab what I want, it's about making sure that our values and our ambitions are reinforcing each other. Then we can develop the strength to hold that focus under pressure.
Wow. Say that again, because I think that's so important, because it speaks to what I said at the top of the program about support. You're saying make sure our values, if you could say that again, I think that's so important, because I think sometimes people go off.
See, we have values. We all have values. We all have ambitions,
right?
But sometimes, because we just haven't updated our files, our values no longer support our ambitions. or our values, our way of relating to money and things and whatever, can't get us what we want. So it's a little bit like wishing that we could train to be expert swimmers, but then going in with a full suit of clothes on and wondering why we're not doing so well. And I think that this is where, if we can evaluate what of our values are supporting our ambitions, are supporting our vision, are supporting our outreach. And if they're not, then either we have to change our way of relating to our values, maybe get some new ones, or change the ambition. You know, because it's kind of like if you really, really, really want to lead a monastic existence, don't go be a rock and roll star. You know, you've got to use the right means to accomplish what you're looking for. And this gets into the theme of life is a continuous adventure in learning appropriate function across our 12 frequency zones of our existence. Because we have the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, personal stuff. We have the physical, emotional, mental, material, you know, spiritual, interpersonal stuff. And then we have the material, emotional, mental, spiritual, transpersonal or archetypal level of existence, and we can master any one of these. It doesn't mean we've got everything else mastered. And the genius to astrology is it shows us every turn of the wheel what lessons we've mastered and which ones we can refine, okay? Because we keep learning about every single thing through realizations that then give us the opportunity to practice our skills in these zones and keep raising the lower response to the higher, the ineffective to the effective, the drifting to the precise focus, the discouraging attitudes into a more encouraging attitude. See, and any of us who've ever lived any length of time understand it's not just about us and even the people we know, because times change. So we have to adapt to that stuff too, you know, and that teaches us. It teaches us to perfect our ability to discern what's important and what's unimportant and which path will lead us to fulfillment and which ones just bog us down. And we get to practice our kindness and our dispassion and our detachment. And mostly, I think that because the mind is inherently pessimistic, one of our great challenges is to, and we have this ability, but we have to generate a better pattern in that moment. This gets into something you were saying, because it's about looking at the patterns. And if you're stuck in a pattern of acting or feeling or thinking that is not getting you what you want, then you have to take a hard look at what it is in you that needs to change, that needs to grow, whether in understanding or whether an emotional response or whether just go learn a new skill and go do something different and open up a new world and a new perspective. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's all grist. So our spirit soul comes
out. Yeah, for the growth. Now, Robert, let me ask you, how does somebody know? I love what you were saying about the adjusting values, or maybe it's the goal. How is, because I think this is so, you know, especially in 2016 when we're in this kind of breaking the mold, new normal, you know, departure mode. There's, you know, how does somebody know, or what can they do to know, do I need to adjust my values, or do my values, what I valued last year or 5 years or 20 years, is that still valid to my goal that I wanted, that I want to do now? Are my values supporting my goal?
Well, I believe that the way that you can see if you're on the right track, first of all, you got to have the right view of the process, which to me is education as a constant experiment in human existence. Mm-hmm. You know, that we're just learning, and often we throw so many hard judgments on us and attitudes, and we burden the beast with a lot of considerations and judgments that aren't helping us see the whole thing as an experiment in perfecting our responses. And if we're unhappy, then clearly we need new responses. I mean, to me, it's that basic. Now, it doesn't mean that just because you do something and it doesn't work, it doesn't make you wrong or bad or anything else. And this is also where I think you brought up something really critical, and that's that I've found that when we're doing really heavy inner work, then we're really not concentrating on the outer. Okay?
And so
when the outer is not doing what we want it to do, I'd say that's the perfect signal to go inside and figure some stuff out about our orientation to the world.
Because if our actions
are not completely supported by our inner and higher nature, then they always fall flat. Now, the other thing, there's another variable, and this is where astrology helps us. There are, in fact, better and worse times to do things. You know, I mean, it's like don't build a brick wall in a rainstorm kind of thing, you know? You know, don't set off on a car trip when there's tornadoes on that road. And so to me, you know, it's kind of like it's all these series of pulses and tides. And like right now, 2016 is truly a year of cross currents with a lot of disruption and shifting focus and a stable practicality with inspiration. But again, this is where right now with the Jupiter conjunct the North Node in Virgo through September, it's really time to work. It's time to refine the process and to take care of the details and to get a plan, to get a workable plan and see how you can work that plan by the steps, by the numbers, to get from where you are to where you want to be. See, I mean, I found in my 45 years of counseling people that look, people usually have the skills they need, they just don't have a plan. They might even have a vision, but they don't have a plan. And it's not that we can't do something different than we've ever done before. But you better figure out your plan, you better get your skills and your tools, then be willing to experiment and learn and educate yourself. And, you know, because my thing is that I've, across the years, I've found a lot of one- and two-trick ponies. You know, they kind of get something and they beat it to death and they seem to be really hip and cool and aware and capable. But they can't think outside their own box. And, you know, they always revert back to those one or two things that they know and know well, and they don't think about the infinite possibilities of what could be, of how to do it differently, of how to see it differently, of how to work with the raw materials in a different way. And see, that's what I think this year is about, because it's interesting because in terms of the outer spiritual planets, we're still in a long wave, 120-year into 500-year opening season. But in terms of the social and cultural and individual cycles, we're all closing out what began in 2000. And so this is the time of a harvest. And if we've done the work, you know, we know what to plant. We know how to take care of the soil of our personality. We're going to start seeing a lot of flowers and a lot of rewards just because this is the natural completion time. The worst part of it's going to be pretty much February through June. And again, the lessons are just hanging in there and not getting discouraged and finding a more creative way to approach your life, your process, your learning. You know, because we don't know.
It is a form of creativity, isn't it, Robert? It really is a form of creativity. It's not something static, right? It creates and recreates itself the way, you know?
Well, our life is a work of art. I mean, we have to have the raw materials, but we have to make something of it. And we each have our gifts, and we each have our specialties, and we each have our inclinations. And again, everything in astrology shows us the timing on when we can really productively extend, expand, harmonize. You know, like, for example, the Jupiter-Earth trine with Pluto this year through July is great for a certain to-the-point practicality, you know, the ability to get right to the heart of things. But it requires us figuring out what would we enjoy, what's going to be stable. Yeah, how are we going to enjoy this ride? Because there's no point in living life miserably. We're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be figuring out what works for us. And that does mean we have to step outside of our preconceived shell of personality. We have to question the value systems we were raised with and what everybody else thinks is happening and hip and cool. And I forget what that term was you were using, but, you know, fear of missing out or whatever. That's all about the outer world. And the outer world always falls short if we're not here and now. If we're not living our life, whose life are we living? You know, if we're not in our skin, being a soul spirit with a body, feelings, and mind, what are we doing? And yet, there's also times, as I said, when it's better to do stuff. Like, I can tell you the tremendous number of spiritual realizations out there for everybody this coming summer, and a lot of productivity pretty much beginning in August all the way through September of 2017. It's going to be a very productive year based in the changes and the friction and whatever it is that is grinding us this year. You know, whatever's forcing us to get clear, either decrease our rules so we can breathe a little wider or stop the pie-in-the-sky thinking and get with the program. Either way, it doesn't matter. We just can't afford to get discouraged because somehow we're stuck like a horse with a millstone around its neck. You know, we really have to learn to break outside of judging ourselves based in somebody else's standards, because see, we are an unfolding process, and we see a lot of how we fit in through the outer planets. And for example, everybody's going to wind up getting tempted in October, November, December of this year, and we have to watch out for opportunities that are not real opportunities. It's going to impact everybody with planets in middle Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, people born early January, April, July, and October. And I think that a lot of this, again, some of what we're going to be challenged to do later on in this year, we have to trust the emotional intelligence that began to come forth in all of us in the summer of 2013. And we worked with that actively for a full year. We talked about this in previous stuff because, remember, everybody stepped through a membrane in late 2012, and it flooded us with a whole new series of opportunities of emotional intelligence in 2013 and 2014, so that now we can't just rely on the mind and its limited dualistic judgments. We have to be willing to feel our process, so we can come to that deep knowing that it's not that the deep knowing is better than the mind or worse than the mind. It's just each has its place now in our learning. And partly the problem, I think a lot of people have fallen into some confusion, which is why we have to take a little bit of a tough approach at this time, is because of the Saturn square Neptune. Okay, in the Saturn square Neptune, if you get unclear, or if things seem to drift, or you can't get a handle on something, narrow the focus. You know, be alert.
I like that.
Be alert.
I will
really
be too fuzzy if you don't, right?
Well,
it's too unclear and stabilizing.
Yeah, we have to get a handle on the whole of our affairs, so that it becomes relevant to us and we're not just drifting. You know, we're not just wondering what it's all about and where it's all going. So, and you can always tell when there's a confusion going on. That'll be when there's too much information, or when we're getting contradictory signals, or when we're feeling that sense of futility. And those are the points where we have to train the mind and the speech in precision. Because the Jupiter North Node in Virgo for the first part of this year through September, this is our line of greatest evolutionary development. you know, figure out a plan and be clear about the details and get trained and get educated and see it all as a great big experiment. And I really think that, again, one of the things I want to make clear is that the planets don't make anything happen, but the transits show the bigger gestalt in the atmosphere that we are all dealing with.
Yeah.
So for some, yes, some people, the Saturn square Neptune, they're just going to turn away from some amorphous drifting thing and they will sharpen their focus. For others, they're going to awaken for the first time that they're sending themselves mixed signals and they need to figure some stuff out. See, each of us responds differently.
Talk about that. That seems to be a biggie right now, a lot of mixed signals. And what you said earlier, this whole idea of somebody's values, principles, and beliefs are going counter to what they want. I'm seeing that a lot, you know, and our caller, that, you know, because you called in before, that's happened quite a bit, where the values, principles, and beliefs, you know, it's like they're clashing.
Well, in the larger set of cycles, it was inevitable that certain values and ideas and methods would come into friction with each other because of the transits, for example, in Virgo last October that promised a great two-year expansion and set of opportunities wherever we have Virgo in our charts. But by the same token, it because Virgo is opposite the Neptune and Pisces, some of what we have to do is going to be completely opposite the prevailing atmosphere, the prevailing sense of what's popular. You know, we can't worry about what's popular or what it feels like in the large. And then we also have this Saturn in Sagittarius that's hanging around, forcing us to get clear about what our truth is and how to structure a future. Now, if you think about it, see, that's the T-square. We got the Virgo and a tight awareness balance with the Pisces, and all the powers coming from the Saturn square, which is, you know, all kinds of confusion and mixed signals and discouragement and just too many. That's what I said. If there's too much information or too many considerations or too many rules or too many blockages, throw it out. Because the main key right now is be alertly ready to act and don't fall into distress at not knowing what's ahead. And I talk about that in this full moon series I just posted over at the Aquarius Papers. It's like, this is the key. Now, that T-square is a big mutable T-square, and it's going to clobber anybody with planets in mid-Gemini, mid-Virgo, mid-Sagittarius, mid-Pisces. You know, people born early March, early June, early September, early December, they're all getting put under pressure to make some decisions about casting off the chains of the mental slavery and too many useless considerations and rules. The thing is that the T-square throws a lot of conflict into Gemini, and that sign represents mixed signals. So we're all getting cross currents and mixed signals wherever we have these mutable signs in our charts. It doesn't have to be confusing, but you just have to find a way to be a good juggler, to be able to hold dilemma or paradox without falling into confusion or distress or pessimism, you know, to how to hold contradictory ideas without feeling the push and pull that you either have to reject them or buy into them, because it's strictly about information gathering and discovering what needs to be discovered and either swapping the information with other people in an external way so we can confirm sort of or reject whatever. It also involves our ability to weigh and judge and balance all the different signals we're getting so that we can find the right perspective. Using the example of the guy that was on before me, he tried two people. Big deal. Try 30. Try 30.
How much thousands, millions, I don't know that I've spent and how many people, but try 30. And that's the thing you're saying, not to give up. Try 30, not just two. Keep going at it.
I had at least I had at least 30 therapists over 28 years of my life. They all gave me a piece of the puzzle. None of them could give me everything. And remember, too, that there's parts in our charts that planets are people. When those people have fulfilled their purpose, then they're going to go and be replaced by somebody else that's more appropriate to that planetary function in our life.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what you're saying. Try more.
Well, again, it's not like what one astrologer misses, another catches. What one psychologist misses, another catches. You know, I have a background in counseling psychology, and I've been to plenty of therapy, so I probably have about 50 or 60 tricks in my bag, you know, and they all don't work for everybody. You know, some things work with certain people at some times. That's what I outline in my book, Love Dad, about grief process. Sometimes what works to help soothe your grief will not work at another time. That's why sometimes you go to therapy, and sometimes you go to a support group, and sometimes you go to your best friend, and sometimes you just sit down, shut up, and stay still. You know, sometimes you read an inspirational book, and sometimes you take a walk and you eat some healthy chocolate. You know, whatever works to get you. Remember, we can only be here and do it now. We can't. Most people, they save it up till tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. And this is where I think a lot of people that have felt frustrated in the past year are going to find a very interesting period coming between late March and late June when Mars is retrograde. Because Mars retrograde gives us a chance to rework the method, rework how we attack the problems of life. One more time.
Yeah, when did you say that was, Mars is going retrograde?
Mars begins to slow down in about 4 weeks. It's really already begun to slow down because it's already in its shadow zone in late Scorpio.
It is in the shadow zone. Okay.
And see, the interesting thing, because Mars is going to camp out in late Scorpio and early Sagittarius, well, that's where Saturn was in 2014 and most of 2015. And so we all got a structure. We all got a rigor. We all got shown what we needed to do to embrace as a long-term learning discipline if we were going to open a better future. And it meant clearing out old emotional goop, learning how to deal with loss and death and stuck feelings within ourselves or between us and others. We were all coming to grips with these deep, deep feelings and our magnetism and what we attract and why we attract it or what we don't attract and why we don't attract it. And so I think a lot of people had to work with their deep feelings as well as their ability to open to the future in 2014 and 2015. The thing is now finally Mars has come around, and it's now going to camp out in that part of Scorpio and Sagittarius. Mars activates. So Mars is activating everything that became a life lesson for all of us. Wherever Saturn's been, it's been in my fourth house, it's now begun to activate as a life lesson. Okay. However, Mars is going to go up. And then it's going to go retrograde in mid-April. And that's the period of time when we have to slow everything down so we can rework it, replan it, or in sometimes I found with Mars retrograde, happens every couple of years, you have to kind of suspend action in one area so you can work on stuff in some other related areas. So that by the time Mars goes direct in June and July and August, we can pick back up this thing that we had to put on the shelf for a while. So we're making good progress right now. It's not really a false start. It's going to feel that way to a lot of people, but it's not a false start. Take my word for it. All that it is taking a different look at the method or what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, why you're aggravated, why you're not aggravated. Where are you going passive-aggressive on yourself? Where are you stuffing the energies internally instead of externally? Where are simple, normal interactions becoming a struggle for survival? All of these are like Mars retrograde manifestations. So it's a way of, right now it's okay to move forward with this stuff, but then we're going to have to reevaluate the method and make sure we've got the right method and the right attack on the problems and issues of life in April and May and June. And then things are really going to start to pick up better in July and August and September. They're going to evolve very quickly during that period of time. So it's like the I Ching tells us, if you want something to expand, you have to let it fully compress. You know, and that's basically, we're now in a state where I think some things are going to slow down, but that's the best time for doing repair work or rethinking the aim or the method. And so we're moving into that, and especially the period when Mercury is again retrograde in late April through May. That's when we're going to really get to either remember some stuff or be reintroduced to some stuff, or there's going to be returns. Something's going to go on for everybody that's going to be perfect in May, because we have this beautiful series of grand earth trines going on between the planets in Taurus and Jupiter in Virgo and the Pluto in Capricorn. So I think a lot of what is distressing people right now, I think that they're going to, by the slowing of the pace in the one area in April, they're going to be able to nail down some things simply, straightforwardly, enjoyably, pleasantly. They're, you know, people are just going to be able to nail a lot of stuff down in May. And then watch for the maximum point in late May when the sun opposes Mars. That's just a really good time to understand what it is that needs to be externalized, or what it is that's inside of us that's blocking our light, blocking our life. Mm-hmm. Then things will take a gradual turn for the better in June, even though there's going to be all that conflict, you know, because of that, all the planets in Gemini, you know, opposing Saturn and squaring Neptune and squaring Jupiter. But because Gemini is the void of the T-square, not only does it show the problem, but it also shows the solution. And that's what I was trying to give people earlier, that keep it simple, keep it stable, keep it pleasant, rework it, rethink it, rehearse it, redo it, undo it, you know, throw it all up in the air and assemble a new puzzle. And part of what we're doing this whole year is figuring out what are the venerable standards that we hold valuable, that are, that we're willing to actually live in the future, because we're going to break into a whole new archetypal function come this September, October. There's whole new archetypal forms coming forth. And so I think that if we can remember, a lot of this stuff really did have its foundation around 2009, spring and summer of 2010. Another big, you know, tool came to us in 2013 and 2014 with that enhanced emotional intelligence. And these are skills we can rely on, that we can trust, that can take us forward into a new archetypal sense of self. Now, if you want, because I know we don't have much time, I prepared a little blurb for each sign about what it's about.
Thanks, Robert.
So if I can just, you know, kind of bullet point these things out there,
Okay. Maybe
it'll help some people. Okay, so Aries and Aries rising people are going through revolution. And don't be driven by nerves. Prepare for a new visibility that will last for years. And open to a broader and higher way of seeing and learning as a preparation for really major new visibility just a few years down the road. Taurus, go for the stability, go for the creativity. Try to create space in your life and look at how you deal with loss, or shall we say, whether you're getting what you want or not getting what you want. Take a look at internal resistances and discontent, and use your imagination to regenerate. Create the space so that new stuff can come to you. For Gemini and Gemini rising, find your place of greatest service. Open to new ways of grounding and newer, more mature relationships. Don't be controlling, don't be controlled. Open to a whole different, broader, wider way of being in relationship. For Cancer and Cancer rising, full productivity this year. Fabulous year for Cancer and Cancer rising, but there will be a need to adjust to a bigger and freer vision and avoid dishonest people and schemes at the end of the year. You know, keep everything open and above board and be unafraid to make clear and definite demands on circumstances so that they are in your continued interests. For Leo and Leo rising, embrace more play, more creativity. If things are falling flat, retreat. Go back in and build that sense of self-confidence grounded in a self-sufficiency that enables you to be more natural and organic in your expression. Open to more efficient means to acquire and use assets and a more mature self-expression. For Virgo and Virgo rising, out with the old, in with the new. This is a both-and world for Virgo, so this is behind any lurking either-or attitude. There are many bigger and better things to do. So Virgo, you've ended a 12-year cycle, you've begun a 12-year cycle, and go for it. Despite the resistance, go for it, because this is anchoring you into a whole new reality. Again, no more either-or stuff. Go for the both-and stuff. Libra and Libra rising. A year of endings and beginnings, harvests and leaving old attitudes and environments behind. You know, open to new views, but watch for impulsive speech, okay, and slow down the expenses in March and April and May and June. Just slow down all of your expenses and open to a new attitude. Scorpio, Scorpio rising, new goals, new friends, new ambitions. Reimagine what you value and why, and how you can use assets to feed your future. Sagittarius and Sagittarius rising, there are much more important things to do than whatever you've done before now. Okay, that this is about Sagittarians can flower this year if they embrace the right training. This can be a time really where a lot can come to you because you worked for it and you deserve it. In any case, whatever's ending, let it go and embrace the new. Capricorn rising. Examine your motives and work toward a greater vision or vista of effectiveness. Find a new vision for the future. Continue your self-purification. Note the seeds at work in everything. And don't be surprised if people react strongly because Pluto's in Capricorn, so any of you with Cap or Cap rising are probably going through some very extreme conditions. For Aquarius and Aquarius rising, examine your motives and work toward a greater... Aquarius rising. Here you will find opportunity in old losses and legacies to be claimed. Renew everything about your assumptions related to goals and friends and ambitions and group work and world service. Just review all of that. It's a very productive year for Aquarians, but again, it's almost like they have to undo something in the spring so that then they can pick it back up in the mid to late summer and into the autumn. For Pisces, the dream state continues. And this year, because of the squares, there's probably going to be some continual gear grinds related to either home or family or early childhood memories or some, again, it might have been mixed signals when you were younger. So just be flexible and find different ways to view, understand, and communicate things. Now, some Pisces are going to come to prominence this year in a very, very big way. It could come to big prominence. And I guess I would just say that it occurs to me in terms of the sort of the something that everybody can take with them over this mm-hmm. next 6 month period. Try to remember that when things are unformed, there's usually a lot of confusion because things are struggling to attain that form. And that's why you don't want to burden the beast too early in any process. You kind of have to let the swirl of things move along so that then at the right time you can see the order of things and you can bring that order out of confusion, because it's not like that the beginnings are ever easy in anything anyway, and there's always going to be a confusion, but we can't just be passive. We have to take an active part in our life and figure out who we're dancing with and who we're not dancing with, and what used to fit but it doesn't fit now, and what fits now but it might not fit a year from now. You know, be a little more flexible in our process. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding that if we find ourselves in strange woods, we're not going to trick anybody. We're not going to be able to be clever and find our way out. That if we're trying to figure out, you know, we're in confusion, we need a plan. We need a map. We need a guide. We need a helper to either get through those parts of those woods or at least learn how to be at peace in those parts of those woods. There are going to be major connections to be made this year. And we may all need a little help from our friends, as well as whoever volunteers for duty. And again, this is not necessarily a lifetime contract. Sometimes the therapy is very perfect for exactly what you need for that 8-week period of your life, and then, you know, or that 8-year period of your life, and then life goes on, we move on. And I think it's also important to remember that the world can distort what we're trying to do. You know, and the world assumes this and judges that and says this, and they don't have to walk a mile in our moccasins. And when we are in confusion, we should be cautious. You know, go step by step by step and not worry about people's interpretations. And, you know, but this is really about kind of being really faithful and conscientious in doing what we have to do. And also remember that we really do have the power to generate positivity and joy and overcome gloomy attitudes. We have that power to generate a better view, a better way of acting and thinking and feeling and responding in the moment. It seems to be the only power we have to overcome the mind's natural pessimism. And I think that a certain amount of decisiveness is always good, as long as you've done your measured work beforehand. And things change. Things leave our life. People leave our life. Ideas leave our life. We don't change that. What we do is we learn how to breathe in and through the changes. Never forget that we are loving, wise, intelligent soul spirits. We're dealing with the body and dealing with feelings, dealing with the mind, dealing with being human, and learning to superimpose a better pattern over unhelpful patterns.
The unhelpful patterns. So this, what would you say right now for those people that are feeling, you know, I've been getting a lot of emails, when is this going to end? But it seems like we're in this cycle of so much growth and stuff being put in our face, and, you know, especially around, you know, relationships.
What
would you say to people?
I have good news and bad news.
Okay.
If you wanted an uneventful life, you should not have chosen to have been born in the last half of the 20th century, because we are truly in an age in transition. We are living in the dying decades of the 2100-year age of Pisces, and we are living in the opening decades of the 2100-year age of Aquarius. And that's why everything is this giant collision, because there's all these obsolete belief systems and ghosts and fears and, you know, wishing for saviors to, you know, save you, and all these, you know, strange belief systems that no longer work. And yet we're not quite there where we all understand that we need to work for the greatest good, for the greatest number, and to have a better vision for our unique part to play, our unique contribution to make in making for a better world and a better life. Because what benefits all benefits us. And most people don't, they're disconnected because of, you know, Sigmund and Anna Freud and Eddie Bernays selling everybody to identify with objects rather than with their internal, eternal nature.
Exactly.
And so we're constantly looking out there, and we find frustration because, you know, as Mick Jagger sang, he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. I can't get no satisfaction.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy what people believe is going to make them happy or whole or effective. And, of course, you know, everybody wants to be Bruce Springsteen, but his job's already taken. You know, so we have to find our song to sing. We have to find our way of being the love, the wisdom, the active intelligence that we are. We don't have to lay it on anybody because it's going to come forth organically at just the right time if we're not pushing the river and judging ourselves and, you know, being pissy and everything, you know, all these other, you know, unhelpful states that we get into. So when is it going to end? Never. Thank the lords of karma that they think so highly of you that you get to chew up a whole bunch of negative karmic patterns and you get to come out golden. And you can't do it in heaven. You can only do it here on earth when things are not so happy and not so easy. So, look, I've tried to push the river more times than I can count and only just wound up frustrated. Okay, so what you have to do is take a look around. And what do you need to do or learn right here, right now, to seat yourself back in your soul, to really put yourself where you live all the time, instead of running around being discontent because X isn't Y and your dog isn't your cat and so forth. You know, it really is that way. Because, look, it's no big deal to be good in heaven. It's harder to be good here. We can fall into frustration, confusion, anger, uptightness. Nobody can change that but us. And if we have those tendencies that are that unhelpful, that's exactly what we need to work on. Because as I put in my book, Love, Dad, if you can't make it better, don't make it worse. You know, if you can't follow the positive, don't play to the negative. You know, because if nothing else, just, you know, go for a walk in the park, call up a friend, you know, I mean, do whatever, go volunteer in a soup line for a day. Doesn't matter. Don't put too much lumber on the beast. You know, we're right now just making the transition out of this old way of drifting and into a more consciously built individuality as part of the great cosmic choir. And, you know, look, if we're all here to sing our parts, whether it be, you know, leads, harmonies, unisons, or to be quiet, we're all here to sing our part, but most people, they never try in their voice. They don't know what song anybody else is singing, and they want to fit in, but they're kind of, well, when do I get to sing, when do I get to sing, when do I get to sing? And you can sing anytime you're ready to sing. But you got to get ready to sing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why the
God,
training is
it.
So important this year.
Yeah, and I would say, like, with you, get your chart, you know, take some time with Robert, get your chart done, see what's holding you back, what's coming up, and then you can find the adequate support. But we don't know what we don't know until we don't know it. And then we go, oh, my God, I didn't know that, you know, but we don't know. Sometimes it takes people to nudge us. God, Robert, this is great. Let's come back again. Everybody's buzzing.
Sure. We can do this every so often.
I love it. I love it. I get so much. Those of you that have been listening, you probably just tuned in, surfed in at the last little bit. We've been speaking with Robert Wilkinson, astrologer, metaphysician, teacher, and author. He's got a couple of books out, A New Look at Mercury Retrograde, also Love Dad, which is about bereavement, loss, and healing. Both of them very helpful. And you can also find out more information by going to AquariusPapers.com. There's a wealth of information on his site as well. Well, Robert, this has been great. I love what you said. You know, time's kind of be firm. Got to keep persisting. And thank you so much for putting something together for each sign. I think we're putting all these re-listening to this podcast really let this information and insight really absorb in. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, you're welcome so much. And I think I just want to offer this to your community that what your community hears between us is a genuinely open bounce in a really harmonious interaction. And it happens every time we get together.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I've worked with a lot of therapists. Some of them just didn't work very well for me. Others were perfect for me. And I think that it's the same way in life. You know, that there are people that you can really make a lot of progress with in a very short period of time. And that's why, Michelle, you get the tough cases. Me too.
Yeah.
You know, because these are people ready to break on through to the other side.
That's right. But I like what you said. It's time to be firm. You know, we're practical, firm. No, Gene, no more denial. Let's do it. We're all here. And thank you. I love what you said. Nobody has quite said this, you know, but we chose to be here. This is a major transition time. So, of course, there's going to be a lot up in the air. There's a lot to work on. I think that's going to help a lot of people. Remember the time that we're living in right now. I think that's so
really, we're birthing a new era. We're birthing a new era where nothing is clear. I mean, you know, so it's cool.
It might take a while.
I love you all.
Some stuff that comes up. Love you too, Robert. See you next time. Connect with you next time. Big hug, and thanks for being here.
Sounds great. Mahalo.
Hello. Thank you all for being here and being a part of Awakenings and making it just what it is, I mean, which is this amazing, awesome community of growth, and we can just keep it real, keep it open. We can have some sparkies, slides, love fest, all of it, and it's all because of all of you. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. If you had questions that you didn't get answered on air or if you wanted a reading, please call back. Charles, call back next week. Let's talk. I love everything that Robert said, and I'm so grateful that he can take the time to be with us. We've got to rebook him. You know, he's very busy, but so when he can take the time out. He's got two great books out, A New Look at Mercury Retrograde and also Love Dad. You can find out more information at AquariusPapers.com. More information on me, SoulEntrepreneurship.com, SelfEnlight.com, or find me on Facebook and let's connect. Until next time, I hope you guys have a blissful day, a day of openings and new awareness, and a great weekend as well. And if you have any questions you want to ask me, guests or topic suggestions, email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Go out and rock your day or your night, whatever day or time this finds you.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.